Welcome to Campbell Bible Church Online. Thank you for joining me today. We're going to be in Romans chapter 12 today, Romans chapter 12. And we talked a little bit about this last week. Now, if you missed last week's sermon, you have to go back and give that a listen because it parallels today's. And there are some very important notes for how Jesus wants us to live out the Christian life. Now, let me open us today in prayer. Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we have to dig into your word. I pray, Lord, that you would transform us to be more into your image. Help us, Lord, to be representatives of you without having us being the one that everyone sees. But I pray, Lord, that Christ would be seen really at the forefront of us and we would be behind Christ. I pray, Lord, for us today that you would change our hearts and our minds and our attitudes so that we can reflect you more. And I thank you for the opportunity that we have to study Romans chapter 12. In your name, I pray these things. Amen. Well, as I said last week, Jesus was the architect of the church. Everything that we have in the scripture about the church comes from Jesus's design. Now, something important to note is that we don't have everything that Jesus teaches about the church in the gospel books. We only have what has been related to us. But there was so much more teaching passed on to the apostles, which is why it's important for us to study their books as well, the rest of the books of the New Testament. Now, I'm stressing that today because there are many Christians even who teach the importance of only reading and studying the gospel books and to ignore the rest of the Bible. But if we did that, we would miss so much of Jesus's purpose for his church. And as I said last week, the Christian life is patterned off of the life of Christ. But to get his full teachings, we need to study through the whole New Testament, which is why you will often hear me branching out of the Gospels in our study of the life of Christ into other New Testament passages. Now, today we are in Romans chapter 12, and we are looking at a section that is all about how the Christian should behave, especially with other believers. Now follow along in your Bible as I read, and I'm going to go back to verse 9. I'm going to read verses 9 through 15, and then we're really going to just take a hard look at verse 16 today. Verse 9 says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep." All right. Now, we are challenged in the scripture to a very high standard. But thankfully, we do not have to achieve that standard in order to claim our salvation. Now, I've heard from some that Jesus's standards are impossible. For instance, how can we ever achieve true holiness to be absolutely perfect on this side of heaven? Now, it's true that Jesus's standards are high, but for those who are dedicated to Jesus's challenge, they work rigorously to achieve as close to his standard as humanly possible. Now, have you ever heard of the Ironman contest? The Ironman contest is a challenge to swim 2.5 miles, bike 112 miles, and run 26 miles all in one shot, all in a limited time of 17 hours. Now, thousands train year-round to win, and still only a little more than half tend to cross the finish line. Some have even died in the pursuit to win. Why do they do it? Why do they push themselves so hard just to win a challenge? Well, they all have different reasons, but one of the common reasons is to do something that only a few people can do, to push yourself to be the best. Now, I expect that most of us don't think that way in regards to honoring Christ, but we should push ourselves harder and harder to strive to grow closer and closer to Jesus, to even go further than we did last week, to keep pushing for a better outcome than we had a month ago. Now, are you willing to train yourself for godliness? 1 Timothy 4:7 through 8 says, "Train yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily training is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come." Now, what has to change in your own life in order for you to daily wake up and focus on this training? Think about it. Those that train for this race, they push themselves every day to fight harder, to beat their last time, to focus on what is ahead. Now, what is ahead for the Christian? The kingdom of heaven. How do you want to enter into heaven? Do you want to enter as a victor, or do you want to enter as a vagrant? 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win." Running the race of the Christian life is not just about facing certain obstacles. It is about facing everything. All that the Lord gives us to face, all that the Lord instructs us to do, we need to run and run hard and not look back. But remember, in this running, we are not alone. We are partnered with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We are all running together, helping each other and encouraging each other and interceding in prayer for each other. And you know what? We are not going to be perfect in this. Not at all. We are going to have pitfalls. But we have to get up and keep going, because if we quit, we are defeated in our mind, in our body, in our spirit, and we will give up in all of the important things in life if we quit. Now, we are not at a time in this world where we can afford to quit and give up. This world is a very strange, it's becoming an even more daily strange place to live. It is becoming more and more a place without God. And we cannot afford to let our guard down and to just go with the flow. Remember, who's going with the flow? Those who are on the broad way. They're heading to destruction. These are all the people going with the flow on their way to hell. And we can just go with the flow with them and not tell them about Christ and just go with whatever the culture says and not stand for Christ. But that's not what we're called to do. Jesus has called us to have an allegiance to Him, to change regularly for Him. Don't give up. Don't quit. We must continue. We must find a way to keep moving forward, even if it's ugly. Now, let me give you an example of that, what I'm trying to say. I am not coordinated. I don't have very good balance at all. I try to do exercises from watching examples on video, and Tracy will tell you that I am all over the place. Now, I would never be a good example for what the correct exercise is supposed to look like. I'm flailing my arms all over the place and my back's not straight, and she just looks at me and she looks at the TV and she looks at me and she's like, "What are you doing right now?" And that's what it is. Sometimes in the Christian life, we're moving forward and we're trying to figure things out as we go. And it's like we're flailing our body all over the place and we're just trying to stay positive. We're trying to stay on the straight and narrow road. And sometimes moving that way isn't just going in a straight line, but it's making circles and coming back and forth and so on. Sometimes it just looks really ugly. But regardless if it's ugly or not, let me encourage you today, don't quit. We still need to get it done. We need to practice these truths that we are given so that we can get them into our lives and apply them on a daily basis. They are not going to be easy. Jesus didn't design Christianity to be easy, but they are important. Now remember, just like the Ironman competition, many will try out Christianity. But out of the many, only a few will cross the finish line, and even fewer will finish well. Those of us who will challenge ourselves to keep going are on a narrow road of truth. Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 13 that only those who endure to the end will be saved. Only those who keep pushing forward instead of giving up. Don't give up. Romans chapter 12 is a very important text. If we can learn how to embrace this text well, it will make an incredible difference in our walk with the Lord and our relationship with others. All right, look with me at verse 16. It says, "Be of the same mind toward one another." Well, let's pause here for just a moment. There's a slight problem with this verse. And really, it's not the verse at all, but it's the translation. Now, when we look at the Greek, I looked at the Greek in my study of this last week, and there was one problem that I found with this verse, and it was with the first word, be. Now, be might in your Bible be italicized, because many times words that are italicized in our Bibles means that they weren't in the original text, but that translators put a word there. Many times you'll see the word the italicized, but they put the word there in order to better help you understand and communicate what the scripture is trying to say. So this word really was added as a filler to better help the reader understand the context. However, I believe that verse 16 is an extension and both an explanation of how to put in effect the principles of verse 15. So let's go back to verse 15 for better clarity. It says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep." And how do we do that? By being of the same mind toward one another. Now think about verses 15 through 16 with me here. How do we rejoice with someone who is rejoicing about the blessings that God has provided for them? How do we rejoice with them instead of getting jealous or even spiteful of the attention that God is giving them? How do we position ourselves to be happy and joyful with them? How do we even laugh with them and outwardly rejoice instead of just giving them a mundane, "good for you, man"? How do we relate to them and what they're going through? How do we weep with them? How do we physically cry with them or even empathize with them as they go through a struggle? Well, it starts with being of the same mind. Now, just to clarify, this is not me matching my thinking to your thinking, or you matching your thinking to my thinking. No, it is both you and I matching our thinking to God's thinking. This is how we are of the same mind. And just so you know, this is not a natural effect. This is something that we have to work on. We have to work on every day when we wake up in the morning, especially when we wake up and we don't want to do our day. There are many days that I wake up, especially Mondays for some reason, but many days we'll wake up and we're like, I don't want to move forward with this day. What am I doing today? Okay, already I'm waking up with the wrong perspective. And when I wake up with kind of a wrong perspective or a bad mood, I need to work on positioning my mind to think like the Lord. And I need to engage right away in prayer and the meditation of Scripture, even if it's just one verse, to remind myself, God is good. He's given me today to rejoice in Him. I need to move forward and think like He thinks. Now, there are a great many people today that think that this is an assumed character trait. That as gospel believers, we naturally think as God thinks. But that is so false. We have to work at this in order to think like God. We have to regularly check ourselves and make sure that we are aligned with His thinking, and we do that by the reading and studying of His Word. Now, if both you and I are matching our thinking to God's thinking, then we are going to come together and be compassionate towards one another. We will be sincere. We will be honest. We will hate evil. We will cling to what is good. We will be kindly affectionate to one another. We will give preference to one another. We will continue to pray for each other and encourage each other. We will be excitedly serving the Lord together. We will rejoice in hope together. We will be patient through each other's tribulation. We will continue steadfastly in prayer for each other. We will give to each other with an open heart, and we will be openly generous to each other. And you might say, where are you getting these ideas from? I'm getting it right here, Romans chapter 12. If you go back to verse 9, I just walked us right through the text up to verse 15. This is what God is positioning our thinking for. For Jesus is designed for His church. We are to think like God so that we can come together and live out what the Christian life is supposed to be. And this is really us aligning our thoughts with the Lord's. Now, if we stay independent and do not align with the Lord, then we will never draw into this close bond of a family relationship, a family friendship that Jesus has designed for His church. We will always just be about us, what we want most. Now, I don't know about you, but I have noticed in life in general, not just for me, but what I see in other people, is that the number one thing that I desire most is me. I desire most me and what I want and what's going to please me in the moment. Even many times when I come together with other believers and they're talking about different problems and such that they have in life, and I'm thinking about, how does this affect me? How am I connected to this? And I'm just all about me. Well, God calls on us not to be all about me. He calls on us to be about our brothers and sisters in Christ, to love others as we love ourselves. And so I have to go back and think, wait a minute, am I thinking in the right way? Am I just thinking about me? And this is a practice that we have to get through our heads and work on, because we, in our natural pride, think about ourselves and how everything relates to ourselves 24/7. But God calls on us Again, not to think of ourselves, but to think on Him, to use His mind. And if you think about it, if we're using His mind, if we're thinking as God thinks, then we're going to put others ahead of how we think. We're even going to love our neighbors and our enemies on a greater plane than we naturally would. And again, this takes practice. It takes an everyday effort of practice to accomplish. Now, let's continue in verse 16. Again, by being of the same mind toward one another, do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Now, here are two more ways that show us how we rejoice with each other and weep with each other. So high things here is riches and honor and really pride. It is the idea that you may be better than another person. Maybe you are more faithful to the reading of the scripture, or you have been more pure in your morals. Now, this is not a right for us to hold over others' heads and make ourselves seem high and mighty because of it, as if we hold some greater standing in the house of the Lord. God hates this kind of thinking because it is filled with pride. Remember, God loves the humble heart. We see this all throughout the Bible, especially in the New Testament. God loves the humble. God loves the humble. God loves the humble. He hates pride. And we need to be so careful. And you might say today, well, Pastor, I don't really have any pride in my life. Okay, I would strongly encourage you to pray on that. In fact, don't just pray, Lord, help me with pride, but pray, Lord, if I have pride in my life, please reveal it to me. Or even pray, Lord, please reveal to me my pride. And I guarantee there are going to be some aspects of your life that you never thought before that you were prideful in, that God will reveal to you your pride. We all have pride that we need to get rid of every day. It is one of those things on our sin list that we are to nail to the cross daily to have a humble heart. Pride is something that can just pop up in our hearts and our minds anytime throughout the day that we need to make sure that we push back with God's word. Now, those filled with pride often have this righteous attitude, this self-righteousness about them, where they essentially say, I'm better than you. You know, as you see someone who comes into the church and maybe they're a little bit smelly, the prideful person is never going to put their arms around that person and tell them Jesus loves you. They're going to keep them back at a distance. The prideful person is going to look at those who come into the church who are poor and who are needy and just smirk and say, well, they're just here for handout. I want nothing to do with them. The prideful person is never going to approach people on a regular basis to give them the gospel. Instead, they will say, hey, if they want to know the gospel, they would go to our own website and they would find it for themselves. We need to put this pride off so that we can see the people that are right before us. And really, all that we're doing is following Jesus' example. Jesus sat with the sick and the poor and the needy and the smelly. He embraced them. He shared the truth of the scripture with them. We need to do the same. Now, do not think that you are wise. Do not put your own standing higher than another person. It doesn't matter if you are the CEO of a company or the wealthiest person alive. It doesn't matter if certain social circles would look down on you for associating with the lowly. If our mindsets are not aligned with God's, we will never be able to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who are weep. And by the way, speaking of social circles, the only social circle that you should be a part of is God's social circle. And I guarantee that God's social circle works in a completely different way than you see in our culture today. Now, there are other ways for us to align with each other and rejoice with each other and weep with each other. These come from knowing each other on a deeper level. All of these things come from being invested in each other's lives. Now think about it. Let's give the illustration of Neil. Neil coming into the church a couple weeks ago with cancer. Now, if Neil came to church for the first time after his surgery and told us that he had cancer surgery recently and he survived and everything's good now, we might say something like, "That's great news. We're happy for you. We'll pray for your continual healing." But instead, Neil came before his surgery. And he gave us the opportunity to get invested in him and his story. We prayed and have continued to pray. So now if he returns, we will much more rejoice with him and weep with him. Now investing in each other, our time, our energy, our thoughts, and our prayers makes a big impact on how we respond to each other and even encourage each other. So how do we know even how to pray for the guy on the front row? Do you know his name? Do you know where he's from? What do you know about him? Do you know what trial he's going through right now? What about the lady on the back row? What trial is she going through right now? What is happening in her life? How do you pray for her? If we do not get invested in the lives of our fellow believers, we are never going to accomplish what God has sent us out to do. Now, we have the privilege of being a smaller family compared to many other ministries. I've been in some ministries where the church is so big, there's a left side of the church and the right side of the church. And the two very rarely get together. The people on the left tend to know the left. The people on the right tend to know the people on the right. But because we're a smaller ministry, we get to know everybody, and we have the opportunity to get to know everybody. Let me encourage you today to get to know your other family members. I'm not talking about your blood relatives. I'm talking about those in Christ's family. Get to know them. Get to know them better. Ask them questions. Invest your time and your energy into them so that you know how to pray and encourage them. All right, let me pray for you today. Lord and Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful time that we've had to enjoy digging into the scripture together. Thank you for Romans chapter 12, verses 15 through 16, which teaches us how we need to love and care for each other. Help us, Lord, to be of the same mind, to be of your mind and not of our own singular focus. I pray, Lord, that we would invest in our brothers and sisters and get to know them better so that we know how to pray with them, so that we can pray for them while we're at home or while we're at work or while we're at school. And as we're praying for them, we can weep with them. We can rejoice with them. We can intercede for them in prayer. Lord, I know that you mean for us to be so much more of a family than we even tend to be. Help us, Lord, not to be the family member that keeps everyone back at arm's length, but help us to be a bear hug Christian. One who is willing to get into the lives of each other and just love on other people, to care for other people, those of our brothers and sisters in Christ, and to intercede in prayer for them. Give us a great rest of the day. Help us to think on these things that you've given us in the scripture today. In your name, I pray these things. Amen.